that, we were probably maybe 8-10 foot away from it, and that's a big old hunk of mass to be swinging around and then to do what it does out the business end of it. Anyway, go ahead, Tom.
Yeah, Keith, I didn't get your call sign, but I recognize your voice. Well, I'm glad you got back in there solid. Everything's fine now. Yeah, they remind me of R2-D2 jet. Uranium-depleted projectiles. Oh, wow, that's some kind of a gun. Go ahead, Jerry.
Good afternoon, Keith. Good to hear you. I know you've been busy as anybody can be. And, Chad, you might find this interesting. I don't know whether you will or not, but... wife Lynn's first cousin was he was a 20th Special Forces Group out of Florida. He's a battalion commander, Special Forces Task Force East, and he was a career. I mean, he was regular Army, graduated from Clemson, went in the Army. You know, did his time, then went to that Guard unit in Florida. He, you know, he's trained all over the country, I guess. Fort Lewis and all the other stuff. And he was in Kenya. He was in all kinds of places over the years. He'd been deployed multiple times. He was, we thought he might make Brigadier, but, you know, Brigadier, the guys that get Brigadier are usually guys that are, you know, West Point grads, and that's who beat him out last time. So he retired. But he did work for NASA. He worked for, I guess he worked for McDonnell Douglas because he was doing stuff for the shuttle and when it was being deployed years ago. And he retired now. His wife is actually a captain, or she may have retired too, as a captain in the Army. So, you know, they're a family of soldiers. And his father was a Naval Academy graduate. His grandfather was a Naval Academy graduate, was an aviator, and was killed defending the Lexington back in World War II.
That's pretty neat. Pretty neat. Well, Keith, you said I kind of missed a little bit of that. You said you'd been near a Phalanx, got to see one while it operated.
Maybe.
Asking Keith. I'll swing back around just a second, Jerry. Let me. Is that right, Keith?
We were up on deck as safety observers. Over.
Okay. So you got to see it, you know, how it works and get the full effect, in other words.
My brother was fire control, so he had his buddy run it, and then we were out on deck as safety observers.
Well, Jerry, last year I was coming back from Pickens and was up on the radio and had an older fella, a World War II veteran. He had a really weird call sign, had some pretty severe dementia. His daughter was in the background, had to help him with the radio. He was on on one of the destroyers out in the Pacific Ocean, and could not hardly remember his name. He was really struggling with the radio to even operate it. The dementia was so bad. But we got to talking, and, you know, he found out I was a veteran, and so he started telling me about the attack on his destroyer. And about 45 minutes all the way home, and I just an amazing story. And he could hear his daughter talking in the background. But I stuff like that, I don't know what to say about it, really. It was an amazing story to hear him talk. And it amazes me that, let me let my radio drop, the dementia and what dementia had taken from him, you know, something as simple as just running a radio, the description of what he went through on that destroyer was unbelievable detail. And it just gives you an idea of, you know, what an impact stuff like that can make, even even through dementia, but somebody go out and pick it up. I'm listening.
Yeah, it is. It's those experiences are very, very interesting. Hey, Jerry, how do I add a contact to this in Gmail? It's been so long. Whoa, I gotta go out and take the water off of the thing. Let me shut this thing up in the background here. What do you click on to add a Gmail contact? I can't figure it out. I'm too dang stupid here, Jerry. Go ahead.
On that, other than just fill it in the send area, and then it may let you do it, because I use mine from an app, so, on my phone, so I don't know how to add it. I just add it to a regular contact after it'll usually remember them, though. Keith can probably explain it better than I can, I'm sure. But Chad, those guys, it's really interesting that, it's interesting that they had two Navy guys in the family, and then in the Army guy came in. My dad was in Burma, in India, during World War II. He was with a railway battalion there, but he said those guys, they said the Indian Sikhs, he said they were good fighters, and he was also in Hobart, Tasmania for a while. They went over from San Diego, I guess, on the SS Mariposa, which had been a luxury liner, and that zigzag across there and had a couple of stores, and they dropped off about halfway there, so they were on their own for a while. So he was glad to see the shores of Tasmania, and then they went on to India after that. But they got a lot of guys, they had those Indian railways only 2 feet, they only have tracks 2 feet wide, so they had trouble getting all the equipment, and his buddy was a mule skinner. I may have told you this story. He lived in Hartwell too. But he was a mule skinner. They hauled a lot of stuff up those passes by mule, because the train wouldn't go up that high, and the cooler wouldn't go that elevation. And when they were on that Lido Road, and also had a group of guys, Morales Marauders, come through, and there was they had Japanese prisoners come through sometimes too. They didn't generally stop where they were. They went on to other places. But one of his friends was in Morales Marauders. He was over here, lived over here in Tacoma. Of course, my dad passed away well over 20 years ago. This guy did too. But we used to go to these game dinners. Let me drop this out. He's had these wild game dinners down in Ticknor, Georgia. And the three of those guys and other guys get together, start telling some stories, and told stories I'd never heard before, and it was just amazing. That guy that was with Morrell was one tough son of a gun. He was still wiry and tough. He probably didn't weigh 160 pounds soaking wet. He was about 5'9", but you could tell he was still as tough as a nail. But those guys, they had a. That is a different world then, but can you imagine? Can any of y'all imagine for that most that part? Thinking about going on those landing craft in D-Day, knowing that probably 40% of you ain't gonna make it to the beach. I don't think you this hard to find that kind of courage nowadays. I'll go ahead and turn it back to I think Keith picks it up now.
Thomas, you ain't got it yet. I think Jerry was right. I think you just type it into the two field, and I think it'll save it. I'm like Jerry. I use the app on my phone, so I'm not sure. But you definitely can just type it into the two field, because I was emailing Patrick earlier with that, so that does work. Chad, I was going to tell another story about the capabilities of that radar. When the ship was first commissioned, they would have, they didn't have drones, but they would have pilots that would fly by with basically a barrel with the ends cut out of it on a long cable. They'd wait for that plane to get past the radar out of the danger zone, and then they would enable it. And it would obliterate the barrel and then start climbing the cable, so they'd have to be on top of it to shut it down so it wouldn't climb all the way up the cable over.
Absolutely. and it's it'll make you run for cover too.
Roger. Jerry, I just sent you an email just so it would do that. You don't have to respond to it, but I sent that other thing on satellites to you also from the, it's originally from K4SV in the club, and probably boring to some people, but us tech nuts, it's kind of interesting, and I don't know much about phased array. I ran, one in the S2 Grumman, and it was 80 kilowatts, and the one in the P3 Orion that I ran was 143 kilowatts, but we didn't have phased array stuff. We was more back in the good old magnetron era, but they were pretty good radars. I really enjoyed running radar as one of the things I'd done, but this phased array stuff's pretty neat. It really is. I wondered how, with that big square antenna on the front of these ships, how they get a full sweep, but evidently, well, the P3 had a radar in the nose and one in the tail, and right ahead of the mad gear, and you get a full 360-degree sweep. They had a thing called a drap box in there to sync them together. So I bet you that's what they do with the phased arrays, because they'll only sweep a certain amount of degrees. But I always love to hear those things. They sound, and I've never seen one, Chad, but they sound like the 30mm on the A-10, and basically the same thing, a Gatling gun. I know Dillon Precision makes them for the military, I think. General Electric did, too. But they just kind of groan. They would, over in Vietnam, you could see them in the distance from the base at times, out of Puff the Magic Dragon. And it is quite a display. Go ahead, Chet.
Yeah, well, we had one experience I had on the first deployment was the A-10s. I love to see the A-10s work, but we were right outside of Baghdad, and they were in tandem. I don't know how far they is out, but they'd come in to shoot. I think that's a 25 or 35 millimeter in the nose of that thing. I'm not an aircraft guy, but when they'd burn them out, it actually slowed the aircraft down when it would shoot. You could physically see the bird slow down, and I was never so happy to see one of them things in my life.
Yeah, it's a 30 millimeter, and we got to see them put on a display at Richards Gabar Air Force Base up in Grandview, Air Force Base up in Grandview, Missouri, one time. My nephew was in the Air Guard at the time, and he took us over there, and boy, they're quite aerobatic, too. Well, I think it goes to Jerry and then to Keith, so go ahead, Jerry.
J-10s. I've seen pictures of Phalanx, but I've seen A-10s operating. Those things are pretty incredible. They look like that's why you can barely hear them too when they've got those turbo fan jets, I guess, on them. But they just look like they're just lumbering along up there, and they're kind of like those. I guess time, but kind of like those old Sky Raiders were, those Sandys. Those things got more armor and more. Armor on them than anything that flew in the sky back in Vietnam. But those things, when they come in, you'll hear, they kind of sneak up on them. But, man, they do a lot of damage. I guess, are they still flying those? Chad, do you know?
Jerry?
Yeah, Roger.
Yeah, they are. They've gone through an upgrade. Last I heard, changing the name to Black Strike or Black, some, I don't know, doing some kind of major upgrade on them. The senator that was captured in Vietnam, I should know his name, but I can't. He died of cancer some time back. War hero. I think the section of Congress was trying to get rid of the A-10s, and he wasn't having it. So he, before he died, he started a program to have them upgraded and refurbished. And that, they, you think they're awesome then, boy, you should see them now. They are a little bit faster, a little bit better radar, a little bit of, you know, a whole lot of upgrades to it. It's a fine looking bird.
Being in the military, the only A-10 story I have is I used to work at a grocery store in Savannah, doing the old back boy thing, and they were practicing for an air show coming up, and so, you know, I was just enjoying that, you know, taking groceries out, watching the various aircraft come over, walking back into the store, and I hear this aircraft. Keep hearing it. It's like, what? And I just stopped waiting for it. It's like, what in the world is this? And an A-10 come over the top of the store. He looked like he was going slower than I was walking over.
Right. But, you know, they do move, look like they're moving a little slow. But they got so much armament on them, you know, afraid to mess with them. they'll hunt you down. But anyway, I think it might be. Go ahead back to you, Keith. I'm gonna be quiet, sir.
Out of here too. Just got back, so we got things to do in the yard, so we're gonna get after that. Good talking to you guys, and we'll catch you on later. N0TR and 4DJC.
KO4 and UE,
this is
KM4CH. Wow,
be clear
after
y'all.
Go ahead, Jerry. Good talking to you, ladies. Thank you, okay. I'm going to get to that ham fest. The next ham fest, I still want to get to the Stone Mountain. Hopefully it won't be freezing cold like it usually is up there. And I hope you have a good afternoon.
73, Keith, have a good afternoon, sir. Nice talking to you.
Quite an aircraft. They have GE turbofans on them, or did anyways, until this upgrade, I guess. And they had a titanium bathtub that the pilot rode in, which was really good. They put Hellfire missiles on them and used that seeker on the nose of it for something. I don't know if it was to give them, when it first went over there, they didn't have night vision, but they put some missile on the side. I know they retrofitted them to Hellfires, but then they could do night operations, and I think somehow they interfaced that into the cockpit. But they're just stupid to get rid of them. They said the F-16 was to replace it, but I don't see it. It's just not armored like that. And by the way, my uncle, Dwight Douglas, was killed at Cherry Point, North Carolina, in one of those SPADs, Jerry, the A-1 Sky Raider. And I always heard they could carry their weight in bombs, but I don't think it was quite that. But just about. And they actually shot down some fighter aircrafts over there, several of them. They had some kind of maneuver where they could almost stop the plane in flight, and then the zoomies would go by, and then they'd shoot them down. Go ahead, Jerry.
All right. Kind of remind me of those Dauntless DB-6s, one that had a massive air brakes on them, but once they had the torpedoes on board, usually, I mean, they had a gigantic air brakes on them. They could just slow it down to anything, I guess, but they, that would have been, South Vietnamese continued to use them. Maybe the Koreans did for years after the Americans stopped using them. But those things were handy. That's a big aircraft too. It's not a small thing. I think you've seen one up close. They're a lot bigger than I thought they were when I got to see one at an air show up here in Athens quite a few years ago, and I was amazed. That was a big airplane.
the pleasure while I was over there. I spent some time, a lot of time in a Chinook. I spent a lot of time in a Sherpa, which is a shipping container with two props on it, literally. And let's see, C-130, spent a lot of time in a C-130. One of them was on the bulkhead where the cargo area is. There's a bulkhead up there that's got, you know, information about the plane. Hand-painted, you know, pilots over the years have hand-painted things. And one of them was called the War Pig. And it did service. The hand-painted sign said it did service toward the end of the Vietnam era. I don't know that much about airframes. It just seems like that's a little bit of a long time for a bird to be in service. But, you know, they did had the whole bulkhead painted. Let's see, the Black Hawks, spent some time in the Black Hawks. And let me duck on out here for a minute. I got a call.
See you later, Chad. This is Gerald TR. Yeah, the Sky Raider, Jerry, had a 3350 engine in it, I believe. And Dwight was landing, and he did a torque roll. The aircraft twisted around the engine, you might say, with torque, because he gunned it right above the runway. They were a tail dragger, and then he went end over end. But that was the first airplane I'd ever been around, and my dad took me up to Kansas City to Grandview there, to Richards Gabar Air Force Base, and we went out to the plane, and Dwight picked me up and set me down in that cockpit, and I was just a little kid. You talk about overwhelmed with instruments. It was just amazing. It was a shame. He got killed when he was real young and had a wife and two daughters, my aunt. And it was a dirty shame. It really was. That was the first military funeral I'd ever been to, and I still ain't forgot it. And gosh, that would have been the late 50s or early 60s. I took my daughter over there to visit the grave over at Oswego, Kansas. We rode over there on the motorcycle, and we looked for half the day, it seemed like. But we finally found it and took some pictures of it. But Jerry, I'm going to have to go because I need to run down the hall and go outside and take that sprinkler down. And pleasure's all mine, sir. I really enjoyed it. I hope you enjoy that thing on the satellites. I did. And you probably already know it. But it was great talking to all of you. 73, and I'll be clear. This is N0TR. Bye-bye.
Have a great afternoon, yes. Be careful out there. It's still pretty warm this afternoon. It's going to be hotter, I guess. Good to talk to everybody today, and we'll grab another round later on, maybe. N4DJC, clear.
4DJW, mobile.
For NUE, mobile.
How's it going?
Hey, Dave, sorry it didn't work out last night. It was nothing I could do for you.
You offered a few times before, and I already had it, so I figured I'd offer this time.
And I said, man, you know, I'm just sorry I couldn't help you out. It just normally we're home. But I wasn't going to attempt that on Echolink. Just that didn't work very well.
To do that from South Dakota, but I don't know. He had a really good connection, and there was a little bit of a delay. But after the net got rolling, you really didn't notice it. But you got to be good at it. You got to be good at it to do it over Echolink.
What you out about doing today?
With Amy off at the airport, we had the alarm set this morning for 4 o'clock, got up and took her to the airport, came back home. When Staples opened, I had to take all her Amazon returns to Staples, So I just did that and texted. I mean, we watched the race together. She's sitting on the airplane, and we're texting back and forth. Where's Denny? Denny just crashed. That kind of stuff. So when that race was over, I took all her stuff to Staples, and now I'm going to go fishing at Long John Silver's, see if I can catch a couple of fish.
I hear you. Getting that fish is already ready to eat, huh?
That's the best kind. Well, no, the best kind is when you catch them out of the stream up in Mount Pisgah, in the stream on the side, and you cook them right there on site. That's the best kind. I'm up number one at the ordering window, so I'll be back in a minute. W4DJW.
All right. I only have to drive 45
N4
minutes.
N4SJC, KO4NUE. How about you, Chad? You copy?
For NUE, I got you, bud. You up at the rock?
I tell you what, I'm 14 minutes away. Did you say, I'm just curious, I'm on Table Rock Road, 8.4 miles to Moorfield Memorial Highway. This is absolutely God's country, QSO.
You're supposed to know that, you know. Well, people down in Columbia, we want y'all to think that's God's country.
Good heavens. I'm jealous. Man. Yeah, I'm not used to this. Absolutely amazing. Do you live on Table Rock Road?
About 20 minutes, I'd say east of that, maybe 25 minutes, but I got some little transmitting station down there, not too far from where you are, right on 12 Mile River, so y'all ever up this way and want to, you know, hang around at the cabin or have a cookout or something. It's absolutely beautiful. Just let me know. You're welcome to it.
Yeah, you're making it very enticing. I wish I had more time than I have, but yeah, one day we'll have to meet for sure, Chad. No question about it. I won't bother you. I just thought I'd give you... You must monitor this channel pretty good. Do you own this repeater, Chad?
Amateur Radio Society, and it's one of the most used in this area. There's always somebody, it's pretty active. Somebody always, you know, using it or talking, you know, really, really nice people, no garbage, you know, community type repeater, and family oriented, especially during the nightly nets, you know. No, I do not own it.
I was just curious. I'm at the four-way stop. You know exactly where I'm at. I'm at the Pumpkin Town General Store and Cafe. So that's where I'm at.
Yeah. So is the store to your right, or is it to your left, or what?
Stores to my left. The sign says 288 West. Heading toward a mountain. 6.1 miles to Moorfield Memorial Highway.
Yeah, roger that. So the deer camps, I don't know. Oh, 10, 12 miles from there. Right on the 12 Mile River. But you are right. It's beautiful country up there. And, you know, people are nice too. There's a lot of hospitality up in here.
Yeah, N4SJC returning. Yep, kind of like yourself. You ain't met me for the man on the goat, and you invited me to your farm. I just thought that was pretty cool. Black Bear Farm just passed that as well. But this is exactly the kind of view I was looking for. So you were right.
It's beautiful weather and beautiful country, and I'm sure the golf course is really nice too. I used to play golf in high school, and hit my golf coach in the head with a golf ball intentionally and got kicked off the team, so that ended my golf career. So At any rate, you have a good day, bud, and I hope y'all have a wonderful time. Like I said, y'all swing back toward Greenville. You're not gonna be too far from the house, so just give me a holler if y'all wanna swing by and visit. KO4NUE 73s, bud. You have a wonderful day.
Okay, Chad. Appreciate it. Always enjoy the QSO with you. Fine gentlemen. Take care. Enjoy your Sunday. And we'll talk again soon, Chad. KO4NUE. This is N4SJC. We're clear.